helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA, and my guest today is Davis Moline. Davis, welcome.
Bill, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and for our conversation today. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I had the opportunity of meeting you just a couple weeks ago at our national convention in Loveland, Colorado. First time to have a chance to meet you, although we've been communicating via email. This is a little off script, but I'd love to get your hot take on it. First national convention, I assume. What was the big takeaway? Anything that really stood out at you? Something you really took away that you've been really, that's really made an impact in your life?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Really thankful I got to go. And it was actually my eighth or ninth conference of medical school. Actually, I'm thankful I've been able to go to several. And CMDA was my favorite. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on this podcast, but truly, I just felt like I could be in line getting food or just walk into the bathroom and strike up a conversation with pretty much anyone. And people were very intentional to get to know me and very open about sharing about their lives. So I think one of my biggest takeaway with that was I'm not alone. You know, I'm surrounded by people who love Jesus, who want to integrate their faith into their work as a physician and other healthcare professionals, and that there will always be a remnant. I think sometimes we can get down on ourselves, at least I can, in terms of like, oh, I'm the only Christian in the workplace, but there are tens of thousands of us, millions. And so I just felt like it was just such a place of encouragement. And I'm just really excited to continue to utilize CMDA's resources. We're going to talk a little bit about that today as well with leadership. Yeah. But it was just a huge encouragement for me.
Great. Glad to hear that. I think what you shared resonates with so many other students and trainees' experiences. So glad you're a part of it. And I know you'll continue to be. But let's, before we dive into our discussion, as you've been alluding to, let me give the audience a little bit of a understanding of who you are, your background. Davis, born and raised in Minnesota, grew up in a family that, well, you're in Minnesota, you're going to love playing hockey and going camping. Went to Wheaton College, Illinois, did for undergrad, and then did graduate work at University of Minnesota, where you studied epidemiology and attended medical school, though, at Liberty. University College of Osteopathic Medicine. You are now about to start your residency at the Mayo Clinic in PMNR this coming summer. So you're interested in inpatient medicine, and you have a dream and desire and goal to do missions work with your wife of over 5 years, Mandy, and two little ones, Moses, 3, and Eden, 1.5. Wow, that's a blessing. Well, thank you so much for, again, taking some time, busy as you are, to talk a little bit about leadership. And what prompted this conversation, I'll let the audience in on this, is you wrote an article about how to lead up as a trainee. And I really appreciated the things that you had to share. And I just felt like we really need to involve others in this by providing this conversation so that people can interact with the things that you share in that article, because I think they're really valuable for the trainee, for the student or resident, in how do you live out as a leader, especially in the particular position you may be in. Before we dive in, let me start with this question, because you start your article this way. You said, did you take a leadership class in medical school? How did you learn to lead? And I assume that's rhetorical. Nobody takes a leadership class in medical school, correct?
I mean, I love Liberty. It's been an amazing medical school. I mean, we don't have specifically a leadership class, although leadership comes up and we have like a once a month kind of small group setting that we do the first 2 years called Compass. So we allude to leadership, but otherwise we don't have a specific leadership class, and no other medical school or medical student that I've talked to has a leadership class. So I think it's just assumed that it's learned by osmosis or diffusion or choose your way of cell transport. So it's just something that we don't take a class on it.
Well, when was that moment that you realized as a trainee that I'm being looked at as a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it certainly was several moments. You know, as a first and second year student, you know, you're really just mostly in the classroom setting, but nonetheless, there's opportunities for leadership. I really liked to go to lecture just because I wanted to develop the relationships with professors and other students. And I realized that just by, I think, how God made me, and also I need a lot of help in school. So I just tended to be a person that asked a lot of questions during lecture. You know, I learned to pick which ones to ask after or during lecture, but I learned essentially that, like, I can lead well in the classroom. I can be a person that maybe helps clarify confusing things or ask questions that maybe others are thinking, but no one else would like to ask. So it really started the first and second year. And then I realized during third year rotations, there were certain preceptors who led very well. And you could tell that all their staff was at peace, at ease. They trusted them. They had confidence in them. It worked well as a team. And the patient benefited for that. And then there was, you know, other physicians, they'd walk in the room and you could immediately just feel tension. You could feel stress, you could feel fear. And so I just learned that even just the presence of a person, how they carry themselves, how they lead as a physician, whether they realize it or not, directly impacts their coworkers and certainly, and most importantly, the patient.
Yeah.
And so through that experience, I told myself, I wanna be a leader. I want to be a person who can walk in a room and bring peace. People know that I'm there to love. There is a sense of joy and confidence as we're about to, you know, care for the patient. It would be such a shame for me to think that, well, you know, I love Jesus, I'm living the Christian life, but I go into the healthcare setting and people don't enjoy working with me. I think that really does say something ultimately about our character, if that is the case.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
There's something you share with your Christian healthcare colleagues that you share with no one else. This coming January, step away from the hospital, the practice, the classroom, and reconnect. Join us for the 43rd annual CMDA West Coast Winter Conference in Cannon Beach, Oregon, with speakers Dr. Kristen Collier and Dr. Corey Wilson on courage, faith, and ethics in medicine. Great teaching, real fellowship, miles of open beach, unforgettable sunsets, and the best children's program of any CMDA conference. It will be a time of worship, rest, and renewal. Register today at cmda.org/Cannon Beach. Come. Refresh.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So you're talking about how leadership affects the people around us, it affects the environment that we are in and those in it with us. But you start with addressing this issue, which I think is fundamental, and it is fundamental and foundational, is leadership begins by leading yourself well. Mm-hmm. I want to explore that because, you know, for a med student or intern, you have about zero positional authority. You know, you're on the low rung of the totem pole, so to speak. So what does leading yourself look like in a regular Tuesday morning kind of day? What does that look like? And let's explore that.
Absolutely. No, and I think that was mind-blowing for me. I first heard that from John Maxwell, and I've heard that from other leadership people since then. And I think at first I was like, oh, that seems kind of selfish. Like, you're just thinking about yourself. And then the more John Maxwell and other people talked about it, the more I thought about it. I'm like, that's not selfish at all. I mean, if I'm not doing the basic things of getting good sleep, exercising, spending time in the Word, spending time with my wife and my kids, if I'm not filling myself up with what's good and true and beautiful, then I'm going to go out in the world and I'm going to be causing, you know, chaos and potentially hurt people. So it's just one of those things where, you know, on a regular Tuesday morning, it's important for me to, you know, spend time in the Word and in prayer right away in the morning. I've just found that with two young kids, the best time for me to exercise is in the morning. That's really important to me. And I'm going into physiatry. And so as a rehab doctor, I feel like I got to, you know, practice what I preach there.
Right.
And then, you know, whether it's going to clinic or the hospital, even thinking about, what am I listening to? Am I listening to music or podcasts are uplifting, encouraging, or am I maybe just need to sit in silence? So I'm really preparing myself for the day, again, to lead with love. I think that if I could have an audience member remember one thing, I think that's really the greatest example of leadership we could ever bring is love. And we see that with Jesus as well, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. But so it's and a lot of that is intentionality. I'm thinking the night before, even, do I have the coffee pot set up? Do I have my Bible out? Do I have my gym bag packed? Do I have my backpack ready to go? So I think in that sense, it's like, if I'm not preparing myself for the day, again, I'm going to go into it and it's going to be chaotic. That's going to affect my wife. That's going to affect my kids. And that's certainly going to affect people in my workplace and patients as well. Yeah. So it a lot begins with intention and carrying that out throughout the day. And I think that when we become tired or hungry or have to go to the bathroom, that's when that can slip. And, you know, we're stressed and whatnot. So that's just something that I've had to be trained in over time. And that's certainly something I'm growing in, but just to be able to train myself to lead myself, and then therefore I can lead others.
I love what you're saying, because you know those intentional decisions you're making are going to bleed over into the interaction you have with others. I mean, our leadership effectiveness, our ability to influence people positively and to lead with love, is going to happen as an overflow. If we keep if we try it and we grit our teeth, it's going to seem contrived. But if it's done because we are abiding with Christ, we're making the right decisions in light of Him, we're seeking to honor Him with our time, energy, focus, our lives, then what we do out there is an overflow. It doesn't have to be tried and contrived. It is going to simply flow out from a deep abiding walk and relationship we have with Christ and others in those decisions we make because we're leading ourselves well. So I love what you're saying there. That's very important. Well, now we get to the hard stuff, right? You talk about in the article, if you want to lead, you need how to learn to be under the authority of others, even if that person's a poor teacher. I mean, you gave an example about somebody who leads and it creates a culture of fear or whatever it might be. It might be a very toxic or destructive. And I often say all of us are under authority. So this isn't really a question of if this is going to be true. This should be a question of when it is and who we might be under authority. And for that person who's the poor leader that we may have to submit ourselves to, it can be difficult. So how do you do that without actually either becoming a doormat or simply just passive aggressive and quietly cynical? So what's the real difference then in, you know, honoring a flawed leader or just then flattering them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the way that you summarized that too. I think one important caveat, even as you were saying that, I was thinking about is certainly if a leader is, if there's legitimate emotional abuse, any type of abuse, that would be something where immediately, you know, that needs to be reported up the proper channels. I think that's something that, you know, if you're under a leader who is not good, but is legitimately wicked, then, you know, there needs to be justice for that, right? So, but then of course, I think thankfully, hopefully for most of us, if we are under a leader, perhaps who is not leading with love, who just has maybe some tendencies that are quite frankly, really annoying, you know, those things are then what I'm specifically thinking about in this case, right? How do we lead up towards these leaders who, and even if they're a righteous and loving leader, you know, we still want to lead up. We're always, as people who are under authority, we are aiming to lead up. I mean, I just think about, you know, in the beginning, how God gives a commission to Adam and Eve, and then Jesus gives a commission to us too. So of course, God is the most just and loving and righteous leader we could ever have. And yet He's still calling us to reign with Him. So in either case, we're called to lead. So I think that one thing that you're getting at, and that I was kind of addressing in the article, which all these points, by the way, are from Craig Groeschel, who has an excellent leadership podcast, and Kim and John Maxwell have been so helpful to me. But one of his 5 points on how to lead up is talking about honor, as you're saying, Bill. And just a few important, I think almost just like questions that Craig Groeschel shared was one, do you pay attention when the leader speaks to you? Do you ask for feedback showing that you care about their opinion? And when you leave the room, do you complain or do you speak well about them or simply keep quiet as to not contribute to team negativity? So I think one thing that I've certainly learned for perhaps preceptors on my clinical rotations that were not leading well, I still wanted to show them that I respected and honored them. You know, I just remember one general surgeon in particular who was notorious, unfortunately, among students for being just very nasty, just crude comments, and just would kind of just whittle you down and make you feel less than. And it was one of my goals to soften him up. Now, I don't know if that was a great goal, but my goal was to work as hard as I could to be present and to learn from much as him as I could, because I could see that he was an excellent surgeon. He just really did not know how to love people well, or maybe there was something else going on in his life. I'm not sure. But, you know, my goal was to ask feedback from him, to be present and attentive during the surgeries, and to take good care of his patients as possible, really, which really I called them my patients because I was under his authority as I cared for those patients. And so even if he didn't see that when I went and saw them at 5:45 in the morning, you know, and he never heard about that interaction that I had with the patient, or quite frankly, didn't really care, I still knew that I was honoring him, even if he didn't know about it, because I was doing my best to care for that patient who was really his patient because I was under his authority. And I just think too, one of my favorite authors, Morgan Snyder, who wrote Becoming a King, what's really important is that we realize as Christians that we are people that are being led, and we are people who are dependent. You know, Jesus said to us, "You can do nothing apart from me." And so I just remind myself that, you know, I can do nothing apart from God. And so I need to wonderfully be submitted to him. And then he also has put people into authority. And so then I can submit to them and learn from them, even if they're not righteous and they're not loving. But again, to still care for what they have entrusted to me, and therefore honor them.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment. Healthcare marriage carries unique pressures, long hours, demanding schedules, and the emotional weight of caring for others can leave couples feeling disconnected and depleted. The Joy Prescription is a marriage renewal weekend designed specifically for healthcare couples seeking encouragement, practical support, and renewed connection in Christ. Join us for Healthcare Marriages in Christ Conference in Jackson, Mississippi, August 28th through 29th, 2026. Attendees will hear from trusted marriage leaders and learn about local resources available for continued support and growth. Whether your marriage feels strong or strained, this weekend is an opportunity to intentionally invest in your relationship and grow together in Christ. Register now at cmda.org/events.
Yeah, no, that's very important, the idea of honoring. And, you know, regardless of whether that leader you may be under their authority is a good leader or a poor leader, there comes a time when part of the honoring process is being able to maybe say the hard thing or have that hard, critical conversation.
Absolutely.
We've tried to create a culture. I don't say we do it perfectly, but it is what we attempt to do here within CMDA is we want to have permission to speak freely with one another.
Yeah.
And create a culture that is that's safe and you know, has that freedom to do that. In fact, sometimes when we're about to say something kind of hard and maybe hard to hear, we'll say permission to speak freely because something's about
Sure.
to come after this statement that's going to be a little hard maybe to hear.
Yeah.
But we know that's not everywhere, and we know that can be a difficult, especially when it's an attending, somebody who's, again,
Right.
above you in terms of authority and position.
Mm-hmm.
We want to speak those words in grace, Ephesians 4. We want to be, you know, kind. But how do we do that? How do you have that conversation? How do you speak truth in love in that,
Yeah.
in that moment?
Yeah, I think that's really hard. And I actually, this article too that I wrote it with my dad. He's a physician, and he's been practicing for over 30 years. And so it was interesting too, because for some of the things that I wrote, he kind of softened it a little bit, in the sense that, I said that, for example, when you have a problem, go talk to the leader. And when I was talking to him more about this, he said, you know, certainly if there's an issue, a critique, feedback, go to the leader, but you really do need to do so prayerfully with, you know, and certainly depends on the culture. I love hearing that at CMDA, you guys can just speak freely. I think that's so important for a good culture. And that shows that there's not only a current leader who's doing that, but likely several leaders who have created that culture decades, where, because that culture takes a lot of time to develop. And so getting back to my dad, what he was really pointing to was that, even if the leader is doing something wrong, you still want to do it tactfully, right? You want to do it with words of grace that convey that, you know, you're not just saying it to them to try to tear them down or show that you're better, but you're doing it for the sake of the institution, for the sake of the team. And then I think, again, when in doubt, for the sake of the patient. Like, if you're ever not sure of when to approach a leader about an issue, but when you think about it, it's hurting a patient or patients, then I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I think almost always then that justifies going to someone to make sure that the issue is resolved. Because if we're not serving and loving patients, then we're not doing what we've been called to do as physicians.
That's a good word. Well, there's a lot that we haven't been able to touch in the article. We're definitely going to post it in the show notes and have people reference it. But I want to kind of create this opportunity for a close, because you do so with a charge in your article saying, let's be the next generation of physician leaders that have teams of healthcare professionals who genuinely enjoy being led by us. Our patients' care depends on it. Our communities depend on it. Testifying to our faith depends on it. It's a big vision. As you look at your generation, as you have an audience here with the Student Pulse podcast of other trainees, talk to them a little bit. What does it look like to lead in a way that your leadership itself becomes a witness? And what habit or practice would you commend to those trainees listening today that they could start tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, again, just as I said earlier, I think the most important thing that you can tell yourself, and I try to tell myself every day as I wake up in my home, thinking about my wife, my kids, the people I interact with outside the workplace and in the workplace, is leading with love. How can I love people better today? How can I love them more like Jesus today? How can I work towards their good today? And so as I walk into a patient door and get ready to see them and their hurt and their suffering, I tell myself, God, help me to love this person, that they would therefore experience and know your love for them by the way that I care for them today. And so I think one is that you can pray that prayer every day, is, God, help me to love better today. Help me to have, to receive your love, right? Because we first need to receive God's love. And then to therefore, as you said earlier, Bill, to overflow in love to the people that we interact with today. And if we don't receive that love for God, from him, then we're not going to love others well either. So we need to constantly be seeking opportunities to receive that love and then to give that love. And also the fact that you don't have to be a chief resident, of your student class, of the leadership. You know, certainly those things are wonderful leadership opportunities, but you don't need, again, that positional power, but we've talked about that personal power where you can lead, you can influence others positively towards a good and just end by the way that you love them. And so I hope that everybody that listens to this, if you're a first year medical student or you know, a fifth year fellow, perhaps as a trainee or whatnot, that you can lead, even if you don't have that formal leadership title, but because of who you are in Christ, you can lead with love.
That's a great way to end it. Great way of putting a bow on our conversation, Davis. Davis Moline, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. Thank you for the article you wrote, and newly minted resident there at Mayo. I trust and hope and pray for you that all your training goes well, and you don't just survive, but you thrive and flourish in where God's planted you. And I'm excited to see where God's going to continue to lead you as you consider missions with your bride and family and It's an exciting future ahead of you, and I'm glad you're a part of CMDA. Thank you that you are addressing these kinds of topics. They're very key. I'm not speaking out of turn when I say, in the near future, we're going to continue to do deeper dives on this issue of leadership. In fact, you mentioned that, that you don't get any training into how to be a leader in medical school, but I'd like to think CMDA can be a place where that kind of training can be found, and not just training, but learning what it, understanding what it means to be a leader, especially as Christ has showed us through his life and through his ministry and the ways that he has led in his time here with us on earth. And I think he's a great model of servant leadership, and there's a lot to be gleaned from that. And so we'll be talking about the subject more, I can guarantee that, and I'm glad you're talking about it, and I hope you will continue to do so. So Davis Moline, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you, Bill. It's been an honor. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.